Thank you, Karen. Beautiful song and a beautiful truth in that song. Philippians chapter 2, if you'd turn there tonight. We are beginning what we call in time measure a new year. Seems like last year went very quickly to me. I don't know how it seems to you. I've heard a number of people have that same expression. But we're facing a new year. And I believe that our attitude in facing the new year is very, very important. And as we face a new year, we need to face the new year with a positive attitude, which is a winning attitude. A good attitude, a positive attitude, a winning attitude. Philippians 2, beginning with verse 3. Paul says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And then this verse, our key verse, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now I know he goes on to explain some of the characteristics of what it would be like if we had the mind of Christ, but may I just summarize the thing and say that the mind of Christ would be a victorious mind and a positive mind, and one that would be a mind that would be overcoming and have a winning attitude. Of course, he was God in the flesh. We're not, but we can have the winning attitude. Now, I'm not talking tonight about possibility thinking. We have the teaching and the preaching of possibility thinking or visualization. If you just think it and you have a positive attitude, it's going to happen. You're going to have it. There are a lot of televangelists preaching that today. You hear them anytime you turn on the television and they're on, and they're preaching possibility thinking. If you'll think it, then whatever you can think, it's possible and you're going to have it. Well, it isn't always God's will to give us what we're thinking about, amen? Paul prayed, as a matter of fact, that God would heal him. I know there are some people who tell everybody, they'll go up to them and say, "I'm going to pray for you and I promise you, you're going to be healed." Now, you don't know that. If it's God's will, you'll be healed. And we ought to pray with faith. I understand all of that. But I'm not talking about name it and claim it and visualization, which is nothing but a warmed-over New Age philosophy that has been brought into and introduced and practiced in the so-called Christian world. But we need to have a good attitude. And a good attitude will determine our altitude, how high we fly spiritually in the work and in the service of the Lord. And so attitude is very, very important. On an airplane, they have something that is called the trim, and it is an attitude indicator. And that has to do with the position of the airplane in relationship to the horizon. It has a lot to do with the quality of the flying and the preciseness of the flying, if you have set that right. If you do not, it can hinder it a lot. And so we as believers need to really set our sights right and have our attitude adjusted sometimes so that we can really be good Christians that are making an impact in our society for the glory of God. We need to have that kind of attitude. Now, what is attitude? How would you describe it if somebody asked you to describe it? Attitude, to me, is an inward feeling. It's something that's down on the inside of us, an inward feeling that produces a behavior. There's something going on the inside that produces what happens on the outside. And we call that attitude. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind tonight about your life and about your circumstances? And as you think about this new year, what's going on in your mind? Attitude, somebody has said it this way, it is a window to the soul. And people can look into your soul by the attitude you have. If you have a bad, negative attitude, it's pretty well symbolic of the reality of the fact that something bad's going on inside your heart one way or the other. It has to do with looking down into our soul and what's happening there. It determines how we're going to look at life, how we're going to approach life, how we're going to live our life this year has to do with the attitude that we have. How are we going to live it? What kind of results are we going to have? All of that gets back to attitude, determined by how we approach life. I think I've told you this illustration before, but it reminds me of the old man, Grandpa, that was sleeping very soundly one day, and his grandchildren thought they'd have fun with him, and they got some Limburger cheese and put it on his mustache. And in a few minutes, he awakened, and after he awoke, he sniffed a little bit, and he said, "Something stinks in this room." And then finally he went into the kitchen and sniffed some more, and he said, "Something stinks in this kitchen. It smells terrible." Then he went in the living room and said the very same thing. Finally, he went outside where there's a lot of fresh air, and he said, "Just as I thought, the whole world stinks." And I know that there's some Christians, sometimes you wonder if they don't have Limburger cheese on their spiritual mustache, amen? But it determines our outlook on life. I want to challenge you to treat everybody you meet for 1 week. For 1 week, I challenge you tonight, for everybody you meet, to treat them as if they were the most important people in the world, and you'll discover that they'll treat you in the same fashion. They'll treat you in the same way. Our attitude determines whether we succeed. Our attitude determines whether we fail. What is our attitude? Two salesmen were sent out, as the story goes, to an island. And one of the salesmen, they were supposed to be selling shoes, and one of the salesmen sent back a telegram and said, "Don't send any shoes. Everybody here is barefooted and they won't wear shoes." The other salesman sent back a telegram and said, "Send me 10,000 pairs of shoes because nobody here has shoes and I think I can sell them a whole lot of shoes." It depends on how you look at the situation. It depends on your attitude as to whether you're going to get the job done or not. Now, our attitudes that we have today probably have been under construction for a long time. And most of the construction was done early in your life. Your mother and your daddy, or whoever your guardians were during that period of time, determined a lot of the foundation that you have to build whatever attitude you have to build on today. And generally, you build more on that foundation in the same way than you started out because of that kind of attitude. It depends on your environment as a child. If you were accepted and if you were bragged on, if you had positive statements made to you, if you felt like you were loved, then your attitude probably is going to be better. If not, then you begin to accept some things. And many times we get very comfortable with the attitudes we developed in our childhood. If we feel inferior, somebody's made us feel inferior, we build on that foundation, and later on in our life, we have the same attitude. We feel like we're inferior to others. There may be a lot of different areas, a lot of different ways that would cause us to be that way. And our attitudes grow in that way. Now, if it's good, usually it grows to be better. If it is bad, sometimes we continue with the same attitude, and even sometimes amplify those attitudes. What we need to do is build on the good and get rid of the bad. Build on the right and get rid of the wrong. God equips us and enables us to do that. And there's not an airplane that's flying that doesn't need to be trimmed a little bit. And there's not probably a Christian in this building tonight that doesn't need a little bit of trimming and a little bit of attitude adjustment every once in a while as we face what we face in life. Sometimes our attitude crashes, doesn't it? We have some real radically bad days. We have some real bad days. And during those times, our attitude perhaps is more prone to crash. You take someone whose mate walks out on them, my dear friend, their attitude is apt to crash during that time. It's a very difficult time. You take someone whose mate has just been told that they have a dreaded disease or cancer. And how do they react to that? And what kind of attitude? And many times the attitude crashes. Suppose somebody walked into you and told you that your child was just killed. What kind of attitude would you have? I've been in a home where that happened. My home with my mother and daddy when my brother was killed. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy thing. There are all kinds of things that come. You may have a financial reversal or lose your life savings. I've known people who have lost their life savings because of a scam. What's the attitude going to be during that? But then most of us may not face these things. We might face some of them in a lifetime. We may never face them. But there are some routine things that we face all the time that can affect our attitude. It may be having a flat tire on the interstate. What kind of attitude do we have when that happens? I bought a couple of new tires the other day before we made our trip. And my son, Phil, was in the van. He ran an errand for me or something. He called me and he said, "I've got to take your car by. It's got a flat tire on it already." And I said, "Is it one of the new tires?" He said, "Yeah." And I thought, man, you can't even in Texas buy two new tires and put them on a car without having a flat. But I said, "Take it on by and let them fix it," and told him where I'd bought them. And he did that. Sometimes we have that. Sometimes we make plans, don't we? And the plans go absolutely bonkers. Some of you had a day like that today, I can tell. And mine sort of started out that way. There were a couple of times I didn't know which way it was going to go. But we make our plans and they just all go awry. We don't understand that. What kind of attitude do we have when that happens in our lives? Sometimes it's a student who failed a test and they thought they were really prepared for it. I've seen some of those students in my classes out at North Seminary. And I guess they thought they were prepared, and they were not. And they didn't do so well. But they were devastated as a result of it. But we have all of these times when we're prone to have attitude crashes. But what we've got to do is keep a good, positive, godly, biblical attitude about things. And when we do, we have to remember that the problem is not going to last. Aren't you glad that the problem doesn't last? Carolyn has a saying, and you've heard it before, and she said it quite often when we would talk about some problem or something or some disappointment. She said, "Well, 100 years from now, we won't know the difference." And that's true, isn't it? 100 years from now, we won't know the difference. But today, we have to realize that those problems are not going to last. Thank God they are over with. And even if you have some more problems that come in life, and surely we're going to have them, one of these days, thank God, they'll all be over with. We'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious day. But when we're having these problems and difficulties and trials, we must, in order to keep the right attitude that glorifies God, we must rush to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep in contact with Him. Because we're all going to have bad days. We need to have right attitude on those bad days and those bad times in this new year. There are a lot of different ways that our attitude crashes. Sometimes they're from the inside. They're internal problems that come in our lives. One of those is a fear of failure. Some people have a bad attitude about life because they don't want to do anything. They're afraid they're going to fail in everything that they try to do. The truth of the matter is, you are going to fail. Everybody in this building has failed at some time, at some things, one way or the other, and we're all going to fail again, no doubt, in the future. The question is, how do you react to that failure that you face in your life? What most of us like to do is hide the reality of it. We try to hide it from ourselves and try to hide it from everybody else. If at first you don't succeed, destroy all the evidence that you even tried. And we like to do that. But then, sometimes we try to deny failure. Or we hate it, or we fear it. What we need to do sometimes is admit it and accept it and realize, hey, sometimes I fail. Sometimes I make mistakes and I have to go forward from that. Great people that we know today have made great, great mistakes in what they were doing, and we know them as great people today. Henry Ford, when he made the first automobile, forgot to put a reverse gear in it. I'm glad we have reverse today, aren't you? I'd hate to have to tell Carolyn, get out and push this thing backwards every time we parked. That'd be a bad deal. But Henry Ford had no reverse in that first car. As a pastor, I can guarantee you that I have made my share of mistakes over the years. I've tried not to repeat them, but I have. I've had speakers in that after I had them in, I knew I had made a terrible mistake. I remember having a guy one time, Dr. Barber, who was Liberace's brother. I don't know if you remember when he was around and everybody was having Liberace's brother. And I read and I had some good confirming statements about who he was. And so I thought, well, this would be great to have a testimony, Liberace's, brother's son, that got saved. And so he came and he acted like Liberace. He even looked a lot like Liberace. And found out later on he didn't know Liberace from Adam or Eve. He was lying about the whole deal. And I got suspicious when he told me to make the check out to his sister. I wondered, now what's going on with this guy? Found out not too long after that he was a farce and he had been lying all the time. I've known greater men than I, more well-known preachers than that, who have made mistakes just as big, if not much bigger. I remember a young African-American preacher was going around. He had all kinds of accolades, and he was supposed to have been saved while he was living under a bridge and cardboard hut and all of that. They found out later he was lying about the whole thing. Some of the biggest churches in the nation had him. We all make our mistakes, and great people fail. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we get used to a bad attitude, and it drives us to the comfort zone. And because of that, we don't even want to try anything. There are a lot of people who could have succeeded in many things if they had just gotten up and tried. But because they had a bad attitude, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Friend, get up and fail every once in a while. It'll do you some good and do me some good. And when you're going to be in the public eye, I guarantee you, you better get used to that. But if you're not, it's going to stifle your progress, and it's going to be self-limiting. John 12:24-25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, except we die to self, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I thank God that he gave me the grace to determine to get up and preach. I was a bashful type guy, but God called me to preach. Suppose I'd said, well, Lord, I know you called me to preach, but I'm just too scared to get up and try. I'm just so full of fear that I won't get up and try. You say, have you ever made any mistakes? Oh, yeah. I've said the wrong things at the wrong time. I've stuck my foot in my mouth. I remember one time when I went back to the church that I had been licensed in right after I'd gone to seminary. And, man, I had all the answers. I knew exactly how to preach. I was going to go back and really let them know that. And so I remember getting up to preach, and I didn't want them to know I had notes in my Bible. I wanted them to think I was doing it from all up here, see. And I had taped my notes in my Bible. The only thing I didn't know and didn't realize was I taped right over my text. I gave my text, and it was time to read my text, and I went, And the preacher's wife was in the choir right behind me. She handed me her Bible, and she said, here, read it. I have it right here. And so I read it. Well, see, I made a mistake, didn't I? But boy, did I ever learn a lesson from that. And that's one of the things that you have to be willing to risk, is some mistakes. But you don't quit, you go on. You have some failures, but you don't quit. One of the greatest hazards in life is not risking anything. Some of us just love the comfort zone, and therefore we won't risk anything. There are people who are good at singing solos. You hear them out here singing, And you say, well, why don't you sing a solo? Why don't you sing in the choir? Well, I'm just scared to, or I'm afraid to. Go on and risk it. Get up. Try it sometime. Now, again, at least have one person agrees that you can sing, but try. A lot of people have been able to do things because they got up and tried, and they had the right attitude about it. And when you fail, you're going to fail, look to Christ. Then there's the dread of discouragement. You're going to have some discouraging times. May I say to you tonight that God seldom ever uses a discouraged saint. Now, I know there have been some in the Bible, but God had to deal with them to get over it, whether it was Elisha or whoever it might be. God had to deal with them. But God does not, he really cannot use a discouraged person very much. It's very seldom that you'll ever see that, because discouragement blurs all the facts. Reminds me of the story of the man who was so depressed, and he was on the bridge getting ready to jump off. The policeman came to him and said, man, don't jump. It can't be that bad. So the guy kept talking to him, and he said, my wife walked out on me. I lost my job. I've lost my health. I'm broke. So the policeman and the guy jumped off the bridge. Both committed suicide, you know. It can't be that bad. We have to understand that discouragement can blur all the facts, and we don't react right to them, but we have to look to the Lord. When life kicks you, let it kick you forward, amen? Don't let it kick you down or let it kick you backward. When life kicks you, let it kick you forward. God has a purpose for that. Another problem that causes it, an internal problem, is sin. When there is practiced known sin in the life of a believer, my friend, listen to me, you cannot have and will not have a good, positive, victorious attitude. You're just not going to have it. If there's something in your life, you're going to be afraid, you're going to run scared. Until you get that right and judge that in your life and confess it to Almighty God, then you're not going to have the attitude that God would have you to have. It's just impossible. We have two natures. We struggle, but we can't overcome by the grace of God, and we need to confess and forsake sin. Then not only is there some kind of crash from within, but there's crash from without. There are factors on the outside. One of those is criticism. Criticism can cause you to have a bad attitude if you're not careful about it. I know that I've seen over the years, and I'm sure Dr. Barber has seen this too, we've observed young preachers who went out from school or seminary or whatever, and they just knew that they were going to be totally successful and they were going to please everybody. If they could just get that old pastor out of the way and they could take the pulpit and become the pastor, they would all be liked, everybody would love them, they'd have all the answers. And just because the previous pastor had some problems doesn't mean they're going to have any problems. How naive. May I say to you, if you're a young pastoral student, you will have some problems, and everybody's not going to love you, and they are going to criticize you. It's going to happen. Reminds me of the young kid preacher who was sort of being arrogant to an older pastor, and he said, well, I'm not worried about it. He said, I prayed and God's going to give me a pretty wife and a big church. Later on, he found out that God answered half his prayer. He gave him a big wife and a pretty church. But at any rate, we're going to be criticized, amen? It's going to happen. We're going to be criticized. You might as well get ready for it and go on out and have a good attitude and just keep on trucking. The reason a lot of preachers get out of the ministry is because somebody criticizes them. I don't know why they weren't told before they went in, or they probably were, but it's going to happen. And if you serve God, somebody's going to criticize you. I don't care what it is, teaching the class, singing in the choir, singing solos, so on and so forth, but just keep on doing it. Keep on doing it for the glory of God. Keep a good attitude. Noah was criticized, but he kept on building the ark, amen? And I'm glad he did, because it was through the line of Noah and Seth that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior tonight. I'm glad he didn't let a little criticism. I can hear the people now. Rain? What's rain? Oh, sure, there's going to be water all over the earth. Sure, Noah, I'm sure. And you're building a what? A boat. What's a boat? We never heard of a boat. All we know about is the mist. But he just kept on doing what God told him to do. Amen. And I'm glad that he did. The Wright brothers were criticized, and they were told that they shouldn't try that. But they went on down and flew the Kitty Hawk and Kill Devil's Hill in North Carolina. And thank God they got it off the ground. And I'm glad, and in a few days I get on a plane and fly to Acapulco, Mexico, and I'll be there in short order. I'm sure glad I'm not driving. Just drove 17, 18 hours one way and turned around and drove it back with help from my daughter-in-law and son. And that was enough. I'm glad the Wright brothers didn't listen to criticism and stop. And I'm glad we have airplanes today. Thank God for it. Where would the missionaries be today without airplanes? What would it be like? See, they didn't give up because of some criticism. Now, how are you going to develop this winning attitude? Sometimes we have a lot of garbage that comes along from our childhood. You know, your mother said, don't ever go to work in a grocery store. You'll break everything in there and you'll owe them money at the end of the week. That would encourage a boy, wouldn't it? Or a girl, anybody. But how do you develop this winning attitude? First of all, it's from God's Word. We develop the positive attitude that's going to get us through this year from the Word of God. We identify the problem. What is the problem? What is the inner feeling and the thinking that we have that is the wrong feeling or stinking thinking that God is not pleased with? We identify that, and then we identify the behavior that comes from that. Because, again, attitude's what's going on down on the inside. It's your emotions, it's your feelings, it's your thinking process. And then we identify the problem behavior that comes from that. And what we need to do is get the Bible out and clarify what the Bible says about it. And what the Bible says our attitude should be like. And then make a decision based on the Word of God and carry that decision out. Don't back down on it. Carry it out. We have the Bible that instructs us to make that decision. A second thing is prayer. You know, prayer changes us. It changes our attitude. I have had those times that I was praying that God would change somebody else's attitude. And there have been those times that God convicted me while I was praying and said, you need to pray for yourself. Maybe if you had changed your attitude, you'd think their attitude was a little different. And you know what? Many times, that's the whole problem. I've had those times when my attitude was wrong towards someone, for whatever the reason might be, and I was praying, God, change them, and God said, you change yourself. And when I changed my attitude, then I got victory, amen? And God does that in our lives. Prayer changes us. And then, of course, we lean on the Holy Spirit. How are you going to have the strength to do this? We know what to do. We know there's an attitude that's wrong. How are we going to have the strength to change this attitude and get it right? We do it not only through prayer and the Word of God, but thank God through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. He gives us the strength to do that. I read a statement today that I thought, well, I'm not so sure that I agree with that. But the person said, after the Holy Spirit came to this earth, Christ died and was buried and arose, you really don't find anybody depressed in the New Testament. And you get to thinking about that. The Holy Spirit came to comfort us and to cheer us and to direct us and empower us and to help us. And he can do all of that. Now, here's the thing. We have to have a desire to change. I tell you tonight, I have a hunch that most all of us could tweak our attitude a little bit. Tweak it a little bit. But certainly some could tweak it a whole lot. And God knows, and you know, and we know our own hearts. And you may think this is not biblical preaching, but friend, your attitude has a lot to do with your spirituality. And it is an important subject. You need to have a desire to change, and then look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will give you the power and the strength to do the changing. 1 John 4:4 says this, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Who is in you? The Holy Spirit. Who's in the world? The demon and the devils and the powers, principalities are there. Who's greater? He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. A godly, positive attitude is the winning way. And we can have all of that if we'll just admit the need, search our hearts, and then get it in line with the Bible, God's Word. And that kind of attitude is a winning attitude. It's a biblical attitude. Let's face the new year with a great attitude. And keep it going all the way through the year, no matter what we face, no matter what we come in contact with. All of these things will help us to have the right attitude. When we get through, about this time next year, we can say, "Thank God I had a good year, and God was pleased, and God was glorified, and I was able to bring honor and glory to Him because my attitude was right." Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed just a moment. Father, I pray now you would speak, and I believe you have spoken to our hearts, and even at this moment, you might speak. Lord, if there's something that we need to pray about, something you've touched our hearts about, something the Word of God spoke to us about, help us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in our attitude, but in the attitude that caused Him to humble Himself and even go to the cross and the death on the cross. Help us to die to self, and help us, O Lord, tonight maybe to even pray about our attitude, not so much that of someone else. Speak to our hearts. We ask now for victory, and give us the right attitude for a new year, that you would be pleased and we could be more effective and bring more honor and more glory to you as victorious Christians. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll sing. If you need to come to the prayer altar,